Do you own an annuity, either fixed rate, indexed, or variable? Are you paying high fees and getting low returns? If so, Annuity General would like you to have this free book to learn the pitfalls and mistakes of buying an annuity. The Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers contains the little-known truths about annuities, like how to help reduce your fees and increase retirement income. And it's free. That's right, free. As a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report just for calling. We researched over 1,000 annuities and summarized rates and benefits from financially strong insurers. You get Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers and the Annuity Rate Report, both absolutely free for calling Annuity General today. Hurry, supplies are limited. Call now.
800-760-1845. 800-760-1845. 800-760-1845. That's 800-760-1845.
It's We'll See About That with World Series MVP Ron Safe.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to We'll See About That. Ron Say here with Mike Gary, and this week we are going to be having a round table discussion. But first, I wanted to get into the fact that it is Mother's Day weekend. And so happy Mother's Day to you all across the world. I hope you all have a wonderful day. Mike, are you doing anything special?
Yeah, I want to thank you very much for that. I want to wish my mother, Deborah Conejo, happy Mother's Day. My stepmom, Rachel Barr, a happy Mother's Day. And the lovely Fran Say, a happy Mother's Day.
Thank you so much. Yeah,
well,
so. We've got some relatives coming in that I haven't seen that are on my side. And they've got some kids, so my grandkids are looking forward to running into them. And they're going to be here briefly, but I'm looking forward to that. Otherwise, we haven't got any settled plans. We're still looking to see what we're going to do. So, once again, happy Mother's Day to everyone. And Mike, why don't you start this roundtable discussion off?
Well, first we should note the passing of a former A's and Giants pitcher, a great guy, Vida Blue. He passed away at 73, and I understand that you faced Mr. Blue in the 73 World Series.
74 World Series, and actually I did. Vida was a tremendous competitor. He was playing on the veteran Oakland A team, in which he was a youngster, and they were in the process, I believe, for a three-peat, and I think that was 72, 3, and 4. We played them in 1974, and I don't recall facing Vida in that series more than maybe one game, but I did face him in the 75 All-Star game, and I got a base hit off him. Actually, I was very fortunate to hit him rather well, and there's a number of stories that kind of go along with that. So anyway, we're sad about the passing of Vida Blue. Condolences to the family.
Absolutely. Yeah, we're going to have a fun time this episode, you guys. We're going to get into a lot of different topics, talk a little bit about the NBA, talk a little bit about different ballparks around the country that Ron played in, maybe some favorites, maybe some not favorites, we'll say, and maybe talk a little bit about Dodgertown, difference between Vero Beach and the new facility in Glendale, Arizona. So stick around, you guys.
Hi, this is Dodger legend Ron Say. If you're a business owner, would you like to save 20 to 30% on your monthly health insurance premium while improving your benefits? Then give BFF Financial a call. If you have more than 10 employees and you're interested in building a tax-free retirement income that can be funded with tax-deductible dollars, then give BFF Financial a call at 888-908-4BFF. Those are just two of the things that my friends at BFF Financial can help you with. They make some of the most important financial decisions that a business owner must make. Easy to understand. Many of my friends who are business owners always talk about how much they are looking to stretch their budgets and do more for their employees, their family, and themselves. If you are in the same situation, give my friends at BFF Financial a call at 888-908-4BFF. Call the team at BFF Financial at 888-908-4BFF to get a free consultation. Tell them Ron sent you. BFF Financial, simplifying the complex. 888-908-4BFF or visit us at bfffinancial.com. BFFFinancial.com.
Hi, Fred Dreyer here to talk about all-natural ingredient Balance 7. Do you suffer from heartburn? Can't eat the foods you like? Then you need Balance 7. Balance 7 improves the acid-alkaline balance in the body. The right pH balance helps increase energy, memory, sleep, and it helps unlock your immune system. Balance 7 works. I know because I use it every day. So go ahead, eat that pepperoni pizza without heartburn. And now you can try Balance 7 and get $15 off your order. Free shipping, a money-back guarantee, plus a free bottle of my smooth skin. Call 800-793-9039 and mention my name, Fred. 3 1-ounce sips a day is all you need. Try Balance 7, 800-793-9039, code word Fred. You have nothing to lose with our money-back guarantee. 800-793-9039, code word Fred, or go to balance7.com.
Imagine getting ahead of your irritable bowel syndrome with constipation or IBS-C by treating it with Linzess. Then you could start proactively managing your constipation with belly pain and get ahead of your symptoms. Talk to your doctor about Linzess, linaclotide. Linzess is a prescription medicine that treats IBS-C in adults. It's not a laxative. It's a once-daily pill that helps you get ahead of your symptoms. It's proven to help you have more frequent and complete bowel movements and helps relieve overall abdominal symptoms, belly pain, discomfort, and bloating. These symptoms were studied in combination, not individually.
Do not give Linzess to children less than 2. It may harm them. Do not take Linzess if you have a bowel blockage. Get immediate help if you develop unusual or severe stomach pain, especially with bloody or black stools. The most common side effect is diarrhea, sometimes severe. If it's severe, stop taking Linzess and call your doctor right away. Other side effects include gas, stomach area pain, and swelling.
Imagine, what could relief from IBS-C mean for you? Talk to your doctor and say yes to Linzess. Learn more at Linzess.com or call 1-800-LINZESS.
They still call me the Penguin.
Hello, everyone, and we are back with We'll See About That. Ron Sayer with Mike Gary, and we are continuing our discussion of the round table today. I don't know exactly where it's all going to take us, but Mike's going to feed me some things, and then we're going to start talking.
Well, we want to give our condolences to the family of Vida Blue. Passed away at the age of 73, former A's and Giants pitcher. And speaking of the A's, the A's have been in the news a lot this season. The notoriously bad ballpark, they are trying to move. They wanted a publicly financed stadium. The politicians in Oakland said no thanks. So now they're considering their options, including moving to Las Vegas. There was also a story a couple weeks ago where I believe the Atlanta Braves were in town and a possum was in the clubhouse. Possum in the clubhouse, and also the same possum was seen in the press box as well.
Uh-huh.
And I believe the Oakland A's front office people said, "Hey, it's a tame possum. He's a nice guy. He's kind of like our mascot." And this kind of wants me to lead down the road. What are some of your favorite ballparks to play in that you've played in through your illustrious career, and what were some of the more dingy ballparks?
Oh, well, times have changed. They play in some there's only three standing, by the way. Dodger Stadium, Wrigley Field, and Fenway Park in Boston. It's a sleeker design. It's more about entertainment. Very, very different. Playing in Shea Stadium in New York was dreadful. I didn't care for the field at all. It was, on a... what was it, a swamp, I guess? They say they built the thing on a swamp.
It was built on swampland, correct.
And so then the next deterrent was really the fact that we had a lot of airplanes flying over the stadium. So you can't hear, and I think we respond to noise differently. And the clubhouses were actually the worst. I think they heated up whatever food they had, which was pizza, a lot in the dryer. Yeah, that's actually a true story. It was just a long drive, and nobody went to the ballpark early in New York. I mean, I took a subway one time, and that was the last time. That was it. And so you basically had to go through the traffic trying to get to from downtown. We stayed at the Waldorf Astoria when we first started staying there. And it's a trek. It's about 45 minutes, and if it's in traffic, it's worse. And, you know, and so one night we got so stuck that, you know, we had to delay the game. We couldn't get there on time. So, you know, and they were rocking our bus when we come out of the bullpen area for the pickup for after game. So, yeah, it was a lot of fun. And, you know, crazy Net fans. And, you know, Yankee Stadium on you know, on the other side of things, you know, I started dreaming about Yankee Stadium when I was a kid in high school. And the All-State game was played in Seattle. And the most valuable player in the game got to go to the United States game or whatever it was called in Yankee Stadium. And Yankee Stadium is the Taj Mahal of baseball.
It's the house that Ruth built.
Yeah. And I know they moved next door, but, you know, it's still Yankee Stadium.
Yeah.
And so I was really jazzed about that because I was so interested in baseball. And, you know, the next thing I know is, you know, I'm getting excited, and then there is a qualifying game. It has nothing to do with how you played during the season, but there was a qualifying game that you had to play into. And then if you were one of those 8 or 10 players selected out of this group, then you got to advance to the All-State game. I didn't have a good day, you know. I didn't make that. And it was kind of like there were a lot of things that fell short. My senior year in high school, you know, I was a heralded running back, if you can consider that, and I got hurt. I missed half the season. Our basketball team, who was ranked number two in the state big division, that senior year, after we had a one-loss season, we had a losing record. And then my baseball thing was cut short because I couldn't make it to the All-State game. So I was kind of disappointed. But things were already in place, and I would get soon drafted by the New York Mets. And that there is, wasn't intentional. I had a scholarship to go play baseball at Washington State University. So that led us around the block a little bit, didn't it?
Absolutely. I want to talk a little bit more about Yankee Stadium. I want to specifically talk about the 1977 World Series.
Yeah, for sure.
Otherwise known as the Bronx's Burning Series. There's a lot going on in that World Series. We had all the, you know, the tumult between Reggie Jackson and the manager at the time. We also had 1977, while you were in New York, during the World Series, you had Son of Sam running around New York City. Also, you had major fires going on in the Bronx. What were your recollections of that, of that 77 World Series?
Well, 77, ironically, with this story, we had a blackout in New York.
Yeah, another one. Yeah.
Huge blackout, right? So, you know, that was highly uncomfortable. You know, you're in a hotel room and there's absolutely, you know, nothing going on. I still vaguely, I can't even describe it because I don't remember that much about it. But I got to play in Yankee Stadium in 1977 in the All-Star game before I got to play against them in the 77 series. But the irony, which I now realize, is that I really did go to Yankee Stadium and play in an All-Star game. the one I missed in high school, I guess, was supposed to happen. I absolutely just pulled that up. First time being there. Playing in Yankee Stadium, the Yankees were a very internally messed up group.
Yeah. Okay. There's a lot of tumult going on.
The dysfunction in that that clubhouse is probably, you know, maybe, you know, what's dysfunction on a scale of 1 to 10. Okay, I think we had a team which I have referred to that, you know, our dysfunction was maybe, you know, 2, 3, 4 maybe. And Ron Guidry, who was one of the outstanding stars of their pitching staff back then, who one year, I think he when he faced us, he was 25-3 and won the Cy Young Award, called us a bunch of choir boys. And for me, I thought that was hysterical. Okay. It wasn't bullet board, information that, somebody might use saying, he's calling us a bunch of choir boys. I thought it was hysterical. And my response back was to myself was, he really doesn't know us very well, So it's almost impossible, for the amount of time, if you think about it. We were in spring training together in the middle of February. And in a number of cases, we were playing until the end of October. And we are together, 8 hours a day. We ride buses together, eat together. We go on the airplane together. We go everywhere together. And so we're there with a substantially more amount of time with these guys than you are your own family. So, things get in the way, And, I thought that we were professional enough to leave those things behind when we took the field.
Yeah, it seems that the Yankees, they had Reggie Jackson hitting those famous three home runs off three right. different pitchers, which I think broke a lot of people's hearts out here on the West Coast, including Tommy Lasorda.
Yeah, I wasn't feeling too good about that one either.
That wasn't great. And of course, you have Billy Martin managing the team at that time, who
right.
admittedly was an alcoholic. Right. And he and Reggie Jackson got into a fist fight in the dugout
yeah.
because Billy Martin thought that Reggie Jackson was dogging it.
Well, Reggie Jackson got in a few fights with a lot of people.
Really? maybe we can talk more about that after
Thurman
the break.
Thurman Munson and Craig Nettles and Mickey Rivers, I think, had some things to say about him, too.
Because people thought he was kind of a prima donna, making the money he made. You got George Steinbrenner to give him a Rolls Royce.
If you saw the documentary about that was done here, the Yankee-Dodger rivalry, you're going to see that most of it centered around Reggie Jackson and the discomfort that he had playing with these guys in New York, And
we'll see more about that.
Yes, we will.
Right after the break.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who've helped people that have been injured or wronged. If you've had a revision or removal surgery of a hernia mesh implant after 2008, pay close attention to this message. Hernia mesh manufacturers have recalled some of the mesh material that may have been used in your surgery due to high failure rate. The FDA has even blamed the recalled mesh material for some of the worst of the health issues reported by doctors and patients. If you've had two or more hernia surgeries for the same issue and you're having severe complications, call the legal helpline now. You could receive a free cash award and have your medical expenses covered. And there's no upfront cost to you. They only get paid if you win. So please call now.
800-817-2968, 800-817-2968, 800-817-2968. That's 800-817-2968.
If you're moving to another state, you're getting a fresh start in a brand new town. And when you choose a moving company to help get your valuable possessions to that new home of yours, you want somebody that's going to take care of your things like you would. That's why you need to call Colonial Van Lines. They're America's number one moving company for a reason. Because they'll take care of your things like they would their possessions. They'll use caution so nothing gets damaged. And they won't treat you like a number, they'll treat you like a friend. And when you call now on a qualified move across state lines, they'll give you a $250 discount. Move your things the right way. Call Colonial Van Lines now for a free quote.
Call now to learn more about this special $250 long-distance move discount. 800-847-0225. 800-847-0225. 800-847-0225. That's 800-847-0225.
If you're struggling to keep up with conversations, avoiding restaurants because you can't understand the waiter, if you've got the TV volume way, way up, then you really need these. These tiny but powerful little hearing aids are the Nano CIC rechargeable, priced at only $297 for a full pair. And no, these are not simply amplifiers. These are ultra high quality, ultra reliable hearing aids, priced thousands less than other hearing aids. They fit right in your ear. Nothing shows on the back of your ear. And at only $297 for a full pair. When you order today, Nano will give you a 45-day money-back guarantee. Order right now and Nano will give you a free portable charging case and even ship them to you for free. Here's the number. Call now.
800-278-1738. 800-278-1738. 800-278-1738. That's 800-278-1738.
Hello, Ron Save.
Hello, everyone, and we are back again with this. We'll see about that. We are once again in the second stage now, our third stage of this roundtable discussion, and we started. We ended last segment with Reggie Jackson, and you know, there was a lot of sentiment, I wouldn't say sentiment, a lot of anxiety going on over there. There was a, I think Reggie wrote a book at some point, and a lot of his teammates had lots of problems with it. And Reggie was quoted. And so Thurman Munson, as I'm told, took it to him and said, you know, guys want to know, you know, what this is about. And he tried to explain it, but he also said, and Thurman said at the end, yeah, but for all 356 words were you incorrectly stated? And that is when Reggie turned to the camera and said, he's got a point.
I think the particular quote that a lot of players were on, especially in the Yankees, were a little bit upset about was Reggie referred to himself as the straw that stirred the drink.
Yeah. I mean, Reggie was, he wanted to be the guy. You know, he was the guy. George Steinbrenner did a great job of hyping him. You know, they got him a candy bar. So they made him an overnight star. And, you know, Reggie, in many cases, could back it up. And he certainly did back in 1977 when, you know, we are playing game six. And it's one of those nights where, you know, one of those stars goes off. And, you know, it's like seeing a guy score 60 points in the NBA night, right? What are you going to do? You know, I mean, it's just one of those nights. And he just, you know, blew it apart. Three home runs.
Yeah.
And he had a terrific World Series. That hurt a lot, too. But you know what? You know, 78 hurt a lot worse. And guess who was centered around that? Reggie Jackson.
Yeah.
You know, you go to game four, and we have this interference call on the bases. The game is, you know, basically stopped. You know, we're ahead 3-0 with you know, game in hand, and there's a runner on first and second, and there's a ball hit to Bill Russell. He steps on the bag at second, and he throws the ball to first, and Reggie Jackson stuck out his hip and interfered with the ball. Now, the umpire did not see that from that point of view, and he ruled the ball live. And so they scored two runs in this inning. And then what happened subsequently after that was they scored with two outs in the ninth inning, and then we lose the game in the bottom of the 12th. This was the turning point in the whole World Series, this thing right here. If we'd have gone up 3-1, pretty sure we could have locked it up the next day. But it didn't go that way, and the tailspin now was in our face. And now we're looking at a deficit in game five, and it's like, are you kidding me? You know, can we get over this and just move on? Because now we're losing the next game, too. And we did not recover.
Reggie Jackson, kind of the prototypical superstar a couple different ways. He made a lot of money.
Yeah.
And he had a candy bar named after him, which you can still buy on Amazon. It's the Reggie Bar, milk chocolate covered caramel and peanuts.
Are you doing a commercial for 24, him right
no,
now?
It's not, it's no sponsors. If they want to send us some, we'd more than likely be very much happy with that. But also, exactly. He was very outspoken and some would say, you know, kind of self-absorbed. And nice segue here into LeBron James.
Okay.
We're in the midst of the NBA playoffs right now. And the Lakers, after a very tumultuous start to their season, sub 500 at the All-Star break, have now actually are Vegas's favorite to win the whole thing. Quite interesting. And LeBron James, he is the leader, the GM, the coach, the travel secretary, the PR person, pretty much all the jobs he does on the Lakers. What are your thoughts about that?
Well, he's a player. And I think that in many cases, you'd have a lot of people agreeing with what you just said, and a lot of it is true. I told you that I really didn't start paying attention other than, you know, rather than getting involved with it, you know, starting to go in there and see who the players are again and start critiquing it the way that I do until later on. So there was a point in time I think you could have asked, because of the way that you presented this, that a lot of people probably may not have known the name of the head coach.
Darvin Ham, yeah.
Yes, because a lot of the stuff that I saw on Insta, some kind of social media, was, you know, LeBron thinks that we played great tonight. LeBron thinks that Anthony Davis had a great playoff game and that they should, you know, bronze a statue out in front of him, out of front of Staples for him. It doesn't go through Darvin Ham the way I see it, or the way that it's presented. I mean, but I'm only responding to what I see. And let's have Anthony Davis have more than one incredibly dominating game before we start going on another hype, which takes you in a different way. Because I think there's a lot of Laker fans out there that would like to know which cycle this is going to hit for him, because even the analysts for the NBA playoffs have said that the cycle is play great, play not so great, play great, play not so great. So where is it going to land? How does it look, you know, in the future? I mean, is it going to be, if they had to go to a game seven, would that be a plus or a minus for the Lakers?
Yeah, and also I think, too, that kind of dialectical thinking about Anthony Davis, where, you know, right. one day on Twitter when, you know, he goes for 30 points and 23 rebounds, he's the next Wilt Chamberlain, build a statue, yes. As LeBron says.
Yeah.
The next game, when he doesn't have the kind of numbers that he had in the previous game, he gets a lot of guff on social media, mm-hmm. which is very interesting. And maybe perhaps it's he hasn't won a ring with the Lakers. I mean, Kobe Bryant was loved. He was veneered here in Los Angeles, even when he, as his career expanded and he got a little bit older, got hurt a couple of times, and he still had the mentality of someone that was one of the best players in the league, even though his body betrayed him at that point. He was still loved, even if he was detrimental to the team. That's got to be really tough on a pro athlete. That's like a no-win situation. What can Anthony Davis do? What can any professional athlete do to, you know, have that kind of...
On Anthony Davis dealing with this, I really don't think he needs to engage with the social media. I think when things are going good, it's easy to listen to nice things that are said about you. But when your team wins and your fan base doesn't think you've lived up to their expectations, they're probably going to tell you about that too. And it's a matter of being able to take it. And if you are having trouble taking it, you should probably stop listening to it. And they can do that. And you should do it. Let's worry about more important things. You are probably a little bit disappointed with the fact that these things are being said about you. And a lot of the times it might be somewhat true. Okay? So let's understand it. You can be a real psychological nightmare for yourself if you allow it to get inside of you, and you got to be careful.
Which is completely different than when, you know, you played in your era, because pretty much the only press that you would get or any sort of criticism you would get would be from the sports writers. And, you know, you'd be covered by your beat writer for the LA Times, the LA Daily News. And those guys usually won't be that critical towards the players.
No.
Not that critical.
No.
Because they want to maintain their relationships with the players so they have more content for their stories.
And the team.
And it's a very good point. And the team is itself. But nowadays, I mean, any Tom, Dick, or Harry can go on Twitter or Instagram and, right. you know, call Anthony Davis a bum. Yeah. And like you said, I mean, it's wise for Anthony Davis just not look at that stuff. As we've seen Kevin Durant, he looks at all that stuff. He'll even reply to some of it.
Yeah. I, you know, like I said, everybody's a little different about how they want to, you know, approach it and handle it. I think... You know, for me, that I have my points of which, you know, those, I, you know, I'm not fond of, you know, having people say things about me that
no one is.
OK. But when you're a sports person, they're going to say those things to you regardless of whether they mean it, because that's just the way that they throw things at sports people. OK. I don't like your mother or whatever. You know, I mean, it doesn't matter. They're just trying to distract you. And they're trying to upset you. So they're going to say crazy things. And that's what they want. And if they do it, then they win.
Yeah, that, I mean, that's their whole goal. I mean, it's the heckler's right. veto in sports.
Exactly.
So, yeah, I think that, I mean, Anthony Davis, he is sort of frustrating, I think, to a lot of Lakers fans just based on his inconsistency. But when he's on, he's on.
Very dominant. You know, I think he even gets inspired I heard there was something about the all-defensive team or something.
Yeah, he was left off the NBA all-defensive team.
Well, I'm not going to say that you should do it this way, but when you have this up-down, 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 up-down kind of thing, then you have this breakout game where you block seven shots and next game you block one, and then it keeps rotating back that way. I don't know if enough people are going to give you the credit for being consistently great across the board. All right, you're great at some times and you're not so great. And I don't know. I mean, maybe they should grade it out. Maybe there's some metric way that they grade it out, and then at the end of the season, all these people add up their points, and we'll see where it falls. You know, that's the way things are done today. You know, metrics is ruling everything.
Well,
you know,
not only metrics, but also, I mean, everybody's contract situation is available for everybody to see. You can see how much money that everybody's making.
Isn't that amazing?
And when you see that Anthony Davis is, you know, making around $47 million a year, and he's not performing to the standards that I think some Lakers fans, because Lakers fans, similarly to Dodger and Yankees fans, they expect greatness.
Of course. You know, we're a city of champions.
A city of champions, which and, you were a part of, yeah.
Exactly. And that's what is here waiting for you when you come to play in Los Angeles, okay? Know that coming in. If you're coming in here to just try to make a living playing professional sport, then I'm not sure, so sure how long you can last, because we expect players to come here with the mentality that we're going to win. Simple as that.
But it's not. That's not realistic. I mean,
no,
that's
isn't.
Completely wishful thinking. I
mean, no,
there's only you only have a 1 out of 30 chance of winning every year.
Yeah, the odds are against you, no question. And that's why, you know, you shouldn't take anything for granted, because you can't stack baseball team the same way you can stack a basketball team. You know, you can have your best player available to take this shot when in baseball you don't necessarily have the best person that you have on the team ready to do that same job, because he might not be hitting in that place. It's just a very difficult game to try and understand. You know, I thought from a physical standpoint that baseball is a completely endearingly different one game that you look at when you're playing it.
Absolutely. Stick around, you guys. We'll see more about this right after the break.
Next up, Straight Talk from Doug. Ever notice that saying no offense is offensive? Like, no offense, but you're overpaying for your wireless. See? Offensive.
That's the Straight Talk talking. Get unlimited plans as low as $35 a month from Straight Talk on America's most reliable 5G network. Available at Walmart and Walmart.com. On the $35 plan, first 10 gigabytes data at high speed, then 2G speeds. Refer to the latest terms at StraightTalk.com. Based on most first place rankings, root metrics, second half 2022 assessments of 125 metros. Experiences vary, not an endorsement.
This report is sponsored by Amazon. To celebrate National Pet Month, Amazon is hosting the second Amazon Pet Day on Tuesday, May 2nd and Wednesday, May 3rd. Amazon Pet Day will offer 48 hours of tail-wagging deals across popular pet categories. There's something for every pet owner, from food and treats to toys and healthcare supplies, clothing, habitats, and more from popular pet-approved brands like Furbo, Purina, Blue Buffalo, Hill Science Diet, Milk-Bone, and more. Whether customers are preparing to be a first-time pet parent or have a house full of beloved animals, everyone can enjoy savings and deals on Amazon Pet Day. Amazon Pet Day will offer more top deals for pet products in Amazon store than ever before. Plus, Prime members who shop on Amazon Pet Day will also have access to special pet movie deals on Prime Video. Pets are an important part of the family, so mark your calendar for Amazon Pet Day on May 2nd and May 3rd, and visit amazon.com/petday to shop.
Wake up, people. You're optimizing every waking hour of your life, from carpooling kids to work to friends and everything in between. You have to get sleep and a bed that can perform as well as you do. Meet the next generation Sleep Number Smart Bed. It effortlessly adjusts to your shape, position, and movements, learning how you sleep so you learn to sleep better night after night. Sleep next level, only from Sleep Number. Save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed, plus free home delivery when you add an adjustable base. Ends Monday. To learn more, go to sleepnumber.com.
Hey, airline travelers, let's say you have a problem and you need to change or cancel an existing airline reservation. What do you do? Well, SkyWatch is a free service that can help anyone with any airline reservation fix it. Whether you want to cancel it, change your dates, or add passengers, we can help fix your airline reservations so you get exactly what you need. We've updated our computer database and now have access to every airline around the globe. So now you can make one phone call, regardless of who booked your airline tickets, and we'll change it, cancel it, and fix it for you. We know the insider secrets to fixing reservations that the airlines don't want you to know about. So if you need to cancel, change, or modify an existing airline reservation, call SkyWatch right now. It's a free call, so let us fix it for you. 855-325-5647. 855-325-5647. 855-325-5647. That's 855-325-5647.
Steve Carlin going head-to-head with Ron Say. High drive into deep left field. Back goes Leszczynski. It's gone. Grand slammer.
2-2 to Say.
It's high in the air to deep left field. Winfield back. She's gone.
This Week in Dodger History is brought to you by BFF Financial. The solutions are ours. The decisions are yours.
This Week in Dodger History, presented by BFF Financial. May 13th, 1973, the Dodgers beat the San Francisco Giants. I should add the hated San Francisco Giants at Candlestick Park, 15-3. Dodgers had 20 hits altogether in the game. Willie Davis had 4 hits, 4 runs scored. Joe Ferguson, 4 RBI. And the one and the only, Mr. Ron Say, had 4 hits, 5 RBIs. Why was Candlestick Park so helpful to your bat, Ron Say?
I think it was the family that I had in San Francisco.
Oh, yeah?
The extended, yeah.
Look what I'm doing here. Check this out, folks.
Right, yeah. I had my aunts and uncles and on both sides of the family there, so it was very comfortable. We can get more into why it was more successful for me than other parks when we get down the road, but the funny thing is... San Francisco was the very first game that I played. The very first road game, very first road major league game.
The very first road game in your MLB career was at Candlestick Park in San Francisco.
Right. And I had just gotten married. And I had been in the major leagues for maybe 10 days on the calendar. I think it was September 3rd. 73, so it's, wow, this is 50 years ago. Jesus. So I went there after we had gone and gotten married on the 11th of February, September, and at the Drake Hotel in Chicago. And, you know, out of there, back to Arizona, dropped my wife off, who was going to graduate school at ASU. And got on a plane and went to San Francisco. So that was my very first road game. San Francisco is a park where I hit my 300th career home run in. It's a place where I set a new club record by getting 9 hits in a row in a 3-game series in San Francisco. I was the all-time leader in runs batted in Candlestick Park by a visiting player.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's quite the record right there.
Yeah, and it's going to stand because they moved downtown.
They did.
They no longer play at Candlestick, so that's preserved. And I was also second all-time in home runs by a visiting player. Willie Stargell beat me by 1. And so that's the story of Candlestick.
That's interesting because come wintertime, you know, we go from the summer into the fall. I mean, Candlestick Park, it's pretty blustery, pretty cold out there. For you to have that kind of performance, maybe because you're raised in the Pacific Northwest?
You know, well, I hope so. Candlestick was, it had a different field when we were playing on there. We played on both of them, though. We played on grass and turf. The turf one was like a freeway, you know. It was rock hard, and it had those ruts in them, those lines in them, in the carpet, and they were right in the baseline, so that created a problem. And the seams is what I was speaking about. It was terribly windy, And when we came out of the same clubhouse in right field, the locker rooms were adjacent to each other but down a bit. And we would walk out the same way, and we had to have like three or four guys pushing the doors open to get them open so we could walk out. It was that bad. So it in the park itself, when you look at the center field flag, the flag says it's blowing straight out to left field. But the funny thing is that it's doing the exact opposite, because what it's doing is coming in from left field, and then it's swirling around towards right field, and then what it does, it's got a jet stream coming out of the right field pavilion. And so it looks like the flag is blowing dead out to center field, or left center field, and that, you know, everybody should have, you know, this is a bandbox. It wasn't the case at all, because they're watching the balls go up, and you say, oh my God, that guy, you know, wait a minute, that ball's coming back.
Yeah.
It's not going to make it. So it was a crazy park. Why I had success there, I don't know, but it was very good to me.
What did you think about playing at the Astrodome?
I mean, it was unique. It was cool. But they had used it for so many events that, you know, even by the time that we got there, it was, you know, it was worn. The carpet got worn. And they had said that, you know, because it's the Astrodome, that, you know, they kept the place like 72 degrees. And I'm not so sure they did that, because that was a very, very big park for me. I would say that would be on my bottom three list of parks that I had home run success in. And it was just huge. You know, I would have to literally hit my best bolt to get it out of there. There wasn't going to be anything cheap. And when Jimmy Wynn came to us in 1974, and had a terrific season for us. It was called the Toy Cannon, hit 32 home runs in the Astrodome. Now, that is a monster feat. It is bigger than that. That's like a 45 home run year playing in there. But I always felt Shea Stadium was much like that. And playing in St. Louis, the old park now, because they moved across the street, I thought that was a difficult park to hit a lot of home runs in.
I think even just as a little kid watching the Bad News Bears when they went and played at the Astrodome, I'm like, this place is a dump. So
yeah. Well, you know, Houston, Houston just was really hot. You know, there wasn't kind of any time to really enjoy it like maybe some others did. But I always felt that, you know, we're going to have our hands full, because the Astrodome actually, the type of teams they started to develop after they had a power team in there in the early 70s, it got big for them too. So what they did is they went to a more run type team. Mm-hmm. And they had a bunch of rabbits playing over there. They wouldn't hit a lot of home runs, but they would cause havoc on the base paths with these, you know, balls hitting the gap. They're now doubles and triples. You know, you just didn't want to put the – because they could bunt, they could hit and run, they could do a lot of things. They were pesty. You know, so and that's the way a lot of teams played on carpet. And St. Louis was kind of the same way too. You know, when they knew that their park was more designed for speed than power, then they took full advantage of it.
That's interesting to me. You know, we talk a lot about in baseball and in the national news media, especially vis-a-vis the recent rule changes, about how, you know, baseball is one of the, you know, only sports out there, I would say, that you can really compare era to era based off the numbers, where, you know, there's a all this data from the history of baseball, and you compare, you know, players from different eras to players of now, and all these subtle little changes over the years, you know, at no fault of baseball itself, you know, like you said about dome stadiums, about air conditioning. So if you're playing in the 1950s and you're having to play in St. Louis in the summertime, traveling around, no air conditioning, no nothing, you're not going to be able to perform at the same level as guys nowadays who are flying private, who are playing in domed air-conditioned stadiums, staying at the Four Seasons. You really can't compare those two eras, you know, based off all those different factors, right?
I don't think that you can compare baseball in much any way anymore. in all ways. I mean, these fields that they're playing on are immaculate. They're all designed. They have all this irrigation. You know, they can pour tons of water on the thing. You know, it's going to look immaculate. The bad hop. Was there a term in baseball once that was called a bad hop? I haven't seen one in so many years.
I haven't heard it in years. Yeah.
And there's other things like that. So, you know, it is what it is. Change is inevitable. You know, now you see the bigger bases, and that has certainly got the attention of the teams in baseball because we are making more attempts at stolen bases. You are now making them think about old school baseball. And I think it's fair to say to where baseball has gone to where now you're thinking about not stealing bases because you don't want to get people thrown out and that people are striking out at the rate that they are, which means that they're getting more strikeouts than they are hits, and that it's basically a strikeout home run game. The fact that you now have gone back and said we may be bunting and running. We're definitely going to run, but you're back in old school baseball now, and it'll be interesting to see which of those teams are going to be able to take advantage of that. A lot of the other things, I'm not so sure that I'm really great with the pitch clock yet. There just seems to be a lot of games being played with that, so I don't know that I gotta pay more attention to, you know, how that's going to look over the long run. I will always stand by this. I don't like the runner at second base when we go to extra innings.
Yeah, I don't like that either.
I don't like it at all because, you know, a guy can make a great pitch with two outs and a guy can hit a broken bat single over the first baseman's head and have three guys killing themselves trying to get to, and they didn't even earn it.
Yeah.
You know, and the winning run scores. And that's the part that, you know, and it's the only reason it's out there is because, in my opinion, the time of the game. They want to shorten the game.
Which is that's kind of weird to me. I mean, yeah, I understand the consumer doesn't want a 3-hour and 30-minute game. What's interesting to me is we're seeing that certain teams, certain stadiums, they want to extend the concession sales all the way into the ninth inning.
Correct.
There's certain parks where, I believe all parks, where you can't buy a beer, which is a huge revenue generator for the teams. You can't buy it after the eighth inning. Now they want to, because the games are so short now, they want to increase that. What are your thoughts about that?
I saw that. And, you know, they're just, once again, it's about money.
Yeah.
Simple as that.
So why did the owners agree to try to all these rules to shorten the games when that would actually affect their bottom line? I mean, we had Michael Young on last week saying that, you know, 40% of the revenue MLB teams generate is through the gate and through concession sales.
I think it was 35%, but either way, it's ballpark. I don't know if they anticipated maybe some of the issues that there would be, and I think that, you know, since this is now, you know, what we're doing, I suppose, and trust me, I'm not trying to make excuses. I'm just trying to analyze it to a point of how I might look at it and understand it, and I think it's just, you know, maybe some growing pains that you look at when you're in this for the first time, and then there's adjustments to be made for that. You either say, yeah, that was a good idea, or maybe we should, you know, gradually just push it over here. So I don't know. It's like when metrics first came on board. You know, I had to sit back and take a look at it and analyze it first before I made a decision, because we're in brave new territory here. And it does go against a lot of the way we did things together. And looked at the game. But the information that you get is all great. It's how you use it that's important. And sometimes, you know, you have to have some game experience with these things and trust your gut rather than, you know, it's time to relieve this guy. You know, I just feel that's one part that I really miss. I mean, it's just totally metrics generated now.
Yeah, I think with any, you know, wholesale change of the game, you know, be it these new rules or be it the adoption of metrics as your standard bearer, there's going to be some unintended consequences. But I guess we'll see about that in the future.
Yeah, we will.
All right. And we'll see more about that right after this break. You guys stay with us.
Hey!
Here's a simple solution for you. If you have back pain, knee pain, or any other pain in your body, it's as simple as drinking a glass of water every day. Your body is over 60% water, and drinking the best water you can get is crucial for your health. Echo Antioxidant Water, developed by Synergy Science, is the best water you can drink, and it's only available through this special radio offer. Over 1,000 research studies have shown that the powerful antioxidant used in Echo Antioxidant Water can reduce inflammation, improve brain function, help you sleep better, and boost gut health. With just 2 glasses a day, you can experience these benefits right from the comfort of your home. Some people have even replaced their morning coffee jolt with Echo Antioxidant Water. Call now and learn which Echo product by Synergy Science is right for you. We offer free shipping and a full 30-day money-back guarantee. Change your health by simply changing your water.
800-944-1789. 800-944-1789. 800-944-1789. That's 800-944-1789.
If you're taking a calcium supplement, it's probably not doing what you think it is. That's because you still lose bone density with traditional calcium supplements. That's where calcium from algae comes in. AlgaeCal Plus doesn't just stop bone loss. It's the only supplement ever shown to increase bone density in clinical studies. That's right. AlgaeCal Plus increases bone density, even if you're in your 80s. That's because your bones need more than just calcium and vitamin D to stay strong. There are actually 13 minerals and 3 vitamins needed to build healthy new bone, and AlgaeCal Plus contains all of them, and it's proudly made in the USA. Your calcium doesn't increase bone density. AlgaeCal Plus does. Talk to one of our bone health consultants today and see how AlgaeCal Plus can start increasing your bone density. Call now.
800-437-8217. 800-437-8217. 800-437-8217. That's 800-437-8217.
If you or a loved one is suffering from a physical or emotional condition that has left you unable to work, then listen carefully. Take this number down. 800-593-7491. That's 800-593-7491. When you call, you'll speak with a Social Security disability expert and get a free evaluation to see if you may qualify for disability insurance benefits from the U.S. government. That's right, a monthly cash payment paid directly to you from the Social Security Administration. Whether you're applying for the first time or you've already been denied disability benefits, call now. The disability attorneys at Pinnacle Disability can help you build your case, file an appeal, and represent you at no upfront cost to you. Don't wait another minute to see if you may qualify for your Social Security disability benefits. Call Pinnacle Disability Group at 800-593-7491 for your free case evaluation. That's 800-593-7491. 800-593-7491. Call now.
Hey, Ron. How you doing?
We are back with the last segment of We'll See About That. And Mike, I want to thank you for that nice lead-in. That's that part of my one game at a time and playing the third base bag that debuted in Dodger Town, the home of the Los Angeles Dodgers, back in 1976.
I think this went platinum. Congratulations. I think I saw a gold record on your wall in your office.
I'm not so sure that was my office. It must have been somebody else's. But, you know, you speak of Dodger Town, and this is where I got my start, my very first spring training. I remember being on the field for the first time. And before noontime, I was throwing up. And so that was my introduction to the heat and humidity in Florida, coming from the Northwest up in Tacoma, Washington. And it was something that I had to get used to. But, you know, I had an opportunity to see the real history and tradition of the Dodgers. Growing up in the barracks, and having that line there that's pretty much at the beginning, because the only one that's in front of us is kind of the Jackie Robinson era. So to see that thing grow and become the facility that has become today, to still have a lot of the old history and tradition, very unique. Everybody gets to stay on in Dodger Town. You don't have to worry about a thing. You're fed there. You play there. That's the whole deal. Amazing, amazing place.
Not only historic in terms of baseball and your career, but like you mentioned about Jackie Robinson, historic in terms of civil rights and advancement
right.
in this country.
Yeah, so. Well, you know, not all of us, you know, had the protection of, the new Dodger Town. You know, they went through a whole lot. And you know that even Jackie, in that movie of 42, told you a great deal about the difficulty of him living, you know, quite a distance away from this Dodger town.
Well, this is fun. I really enjoyed this roundtable discussion. Who do we have on next week?
Well, we have a Hall of Famer that spent years and years and years, and we're going to find out exactly how many years, Bob Miller, the Hall of Fame announcer, broadcaster, and we're going to see what he has to say about how great it is in his life today. I wonder if... I wonder if his wife Judy's kicked him out of the house yet. You know, he's home more these days and not so sure what he's doing with his spare time. But looking forward to all that. Once again, I want to thank all of you viewers who've joined us this week. Happy Mother's Day to all of you. And we are going to have a great time next week. Thanks for joining us. Have a great weekend.